You're tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home that were just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done, we're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I'm looking forward to bringing today's guest into our author's alley. Jennifer Johnson is a wife, mother of two, and a registered nurse in Ontario, Canada. She has spent the last 16 years of her career in the emergency room of big and small hospitals all over northern and southern Ontario. Jen has personally been part of all of the heartbreak, drama, bullying, life-to-death moments, and then also trying to cope in the ER during an ongoing pandemic. Her book, Nursing Intuition, is a rally cry to all the other nurses that struggled through the pandemic and finding that they're losing their love of nursing. They, as well as she, are burnt out and depressed and feeling hopeless. The love and caring and camaraderie of nursing has changed for all, and the expectations that we continue to show up at a job that puts their lives on the line is new to them, and all of them, they're not doing well. Jen wanted to put this out there in a book to let nurses know they're not alone. Bringing back the love of nursing is possible, and now more than ever, they need to support each other and help raise each other. And I love that you are looking at this because I can't even imagine what it is to now bounce back after all of this. So with all that being said, Jen, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Dori. I'm so stoked.
I'm really happy to have you here. And it was just such a good book. Nursing Intuition, and there's part of it where you talk about in different things and different prompts about following your intuition. When is it? When have you felt it? And learning how to trust our gut. How did you really come upon that? Because, I mean, I want to talk about your whole journey, but that whole intuition that so often we push down and it comes back to bite us in the butt.
And then some.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, women, we know that gut feeling. We know that feeling of I'm in the wrong place. I don't trust this guy. I don't know what's happening, but I shouldn't be here. We know that feeling. We've known it since probably we were, 12, 13, 14, as soon as it kind of comes into your knowledge base that you really need to kind of be on alert and be aware of your surroundings at all times. So it was just kind of that feeling that kept coming up when I was nursing, but it would then was in situations where it was like, this patient's not doing too well. Like, I don't understand why I'm having to stop and look at this patient and go, for some reason, like alarm bells are going off in my head and my gut is just so heavy and I feel gross. And I'm just like, what is going on in this situation? And it ended up, originally starting just more as a game. So when I moved from Northern Ontario to Southern Ontario and the ER department that I was working in, we were seeing 80, 90, 100 patients in 12 hours. And if you were triage, you were seeing every single one of those people and, trying to wade through who was sick, who was not sick and how sick they were. It kind of got repetitive and it kind of got boring. And, you want to stay alert enough to be able to catch things if, people are saying things that are really, really keying up that you should be paying attention. And one of the ways that I found that I could kind of keep myself engaged and keep going was I would start to like guess what people were coming in with. So people would be standing in the little waiting room waiting to come into triage and they'd be, holding their chest or they're holding their stomach and you're okay, well, that's a pretty easy guess. Well, I'm going to guess that they've got chest pain or I'm going to guess that they've got abdominal pain. You know, and you'd be right. And so, okay. And then you're triaging them and you're figuring things out and you're kind of setting them up to go through their ER path for the day. And it was like, okay, I wonder if I could be a little bit more specific. Can I, you know, maybe it's appendix, or maybe it's, you know, they're holding their head. Was it a head injury or are they having a headache? And again, it was just kind of something that I thought I was doing just to keep myself from like totally losing interest while at work for the 12 hours. And so it morphed from just kind of guessing what people were coming in with to then, you know, seeing them, triaging them, and going like, well, I don't really like how this person's presenting. I don't know what it is about either their story or their past medical history or their vital signs, or even just like the color of their skin, as in like, are they pale? Are they sweaty? Are they like, you sometimes people can kind of get like a green or a gray tinge to them if their circulation's not too great. And so keying into those minor changes was then like, okay, well now I'm gonna have to follow this up. And you'd follow that person kind of through their ER visit, and you'd go, well, you'd have to advocate. You're like, okay, this person's pretty sick. I know that we don't really have any beds or any monitors, like cardiac monitors that we can use. How can we best be safe with this patient and make sure that they're getting the treatment that they deserve while also being a little crafty with how we're fitting them into the ER department. So, you know, which stream are they going to go? Are they going to go acute care or minor care? Or do we think that they're going to be in and out very quickly and can, you know, sit in chairs for long periods of time? And with every person that I kind of keyed into this, where it was like, okay, my gut's kind of telling me that something more is off. There's more to this story. Either they're not telling me the full story, or they're not aware enough to tell me the full story. You know, there's just this portion missing. And so it wasn't just physical things that would kind of catch my gut, where it was like, okay, you need to pay attention to this. Sometimes it was like social things. So, you know, domestic violence, and the wife was saying one thing, and the husband was like really kind of hovering overhead, and just his behavior, you know, really set off alarm bells, where you're like, this is not normal husband wife behavior. And she's coming in with some injuries that really aren't all that well explained by what she's saying has happened, or he's saying has happened, and she's not saying a word. So kind of picking up on that. So in honing that through the years, you know, I got better and better at not only picking things up, but then being comfortable enough to then go to my doctor and say, hey, I don't know what it is about what's going on here, but maybe we need to, can I do extra lab work? Can I start imaging? Can you just go see this person? Please and thank you. Can you just go eyeball them for me? Make sure I'm not nuts as to like, you know, maybe I'm just thinking they're more sick than they are. But more often than not, whenever I would do that, I would catch something in a really timely manner that actually benefited the patient and their outcomes. So with COVID, and hitting rock bottom and not sleeping, and the fear and the worry and the stress and all of this came to a peak. And so I sat down because I thought, you know, maybe I die during this. And how do you explain to your children that mommy chose to go to work? Mommy chose to leave you at home. And mom chose to go to work and continue to go to work through all of this. And so I thought, well, maybe I can leave them with like some of my really good nursing stories to maybe soften any sort of blow to kind of reaffirm that this is why I was doing it. And so I sat down and I wrote out a bunch of my like really good stories about how I'd helped and what I'd done and the things I'd seen. But of course, with the good, then comes all the bad, because the bad is so much easier to remember than the good. And so just started writing those stories and really going through them. And going through the stories, it was just this little, you know, thread of, well, I trusted my gut every time with this. And even though, you know, sometimes the outcomes were good and sometimes the outcomes were not so good, but I can watch myself grow and listen to my gut, and then coming forward and not only just talking with my doctors, but talking with coworkers. And when I talked to coworkers, then they were kind of saying the same thing. Well, oh, I do that, and this is how it feels for me. So for me, it's just like kind of something pops into my head, either an idea or a word or something, to the point where I then do something about it. Other times it's just that heaviness in my gut. Other people, you know, you're walking down the hall and you see something that just stops you dead in your tracks. And it's so, you know, monumental that you have to stop and do something about it. So it's in talking about that to colleagues that it's like, okay, well, if this is more than just a 3 a.m. conversation where we're kind of goofing around at the nursing station, you know, let me just see if we can kind of make it less, you know, a woo-woo topic. And I wonder if there's any science behind it. And then just, you know, on a lark, just kind of went back and looked into some of the peer-reviewed evidence that, you know, we were raised to kind of like, there's nothing better than peer-reviewed evidence. And sure enough, not only was there so much information on intuition, but specifically intuition in nursing. And I'm like, okay, well, if we've got all this and we've got the data and the literature to support it, we need to start teaching it. But the drawback is, who's going to put themselves and their career and their reputation kind of on the line to walk past that line of, you know, very straight-laced, science-based, to there's more to what we're doing, and there's more than just what science can really, really capture in how we nurse and our skills. And so it's like, well, I guess it's going to be me. And so wrote the book in 6 weeks. I don't remember writing it. I think I've probably blacked out a lot of it going back into the stories, but it's coming out finally after 2.5 years of waiting to be published. So it's my baby, and it's my trauma journal. And, you know, if anybody had any interest into why I am the way that I am, this is it, or at least this is volume one.
It's a good book, and there's so much in it. As an outsider, nursing is one of the most helping professions I can think of. When I think of those kind of professions. And it's amazing to me, the good and the awful, the bullying, the backbiting that goes on, the fact that so often nurses don't support even each other, you know, and then forget we are dealing with the doctors and their egos, and then upper management and whatnot. There's so much. How do you juggle all of that, Jen?
Great question. Usually my first answer is alcohol. It's very much a trial by fire. So, you know, you go through nursing school, it's either, you know, you're 2 years for your registered practical nurse, or you're 4 years for your registered nurse. And, you know, they harp on, oh, you're going to care for people, you're going to be great, oh, this, that, and the other. And they kind of, they do say about the bullying, but they do gloss over it like a lot. So they're like, oh, they're, you know, nurses eat their young, and then they move on to it. And you're like, pardon me, like, what's happening here? So it's like, okay, so am I to be expecting this? Am I to be accepting, like, am I going to accept this? Like, is this a thing that we do that is 100% normal in this culture? Like, I don't understand what's going on. So to come out of nursing school and to be, you know, so green and so excited and just like, you know, just so full of piss and vinegar, to like ready to rock and roll, and to walk into a department that, you know, my first supervisor, I don't know what I did to piss her off, but man, she hated me. She hated me so bad. And I don't know what it was, or that, you know, I was in a very, very small town, and there wasn't really a lot much other to do than gossip and, you know, pick on each other. And, you know, just the gossip alone was just, with the invention of Facebook, I'm shocked that the town didn't just blow up on its own, because, you know, you're following all these people on Facebook, but you don't talk to them at all in real life, but you follow them just to know what they're doing, kind of thing. It's a really weird dichotomy. But, you know, I wasn't from the town. I was from the South. And there was kind of this connotation that, you know, the Southerners were entitled and bratty and a pain. And so, you know, I'm just walking into this job, just so excited to help and to be a nurse. And I'm being bullied nonstop. And, you know, I'd never, ever wanted, or had been depressed to the point of wanting to end things ever. But yet that job pushed me to that limit. and quite quickly, which was really unsettling. But, you know, I stuck through it because why not? You know, you think, oh, it's just me. I'm just learning. Maybe I'm just trying to find my way. And maybe if I change enough, then things will be fine. And sure enough, they're not fine. They just continue on until you finally get it through your head that you need to go. You need to leave this place. You are not changing anything. You know, when you bring it to your supervisors or your superiors to be like, hey, like, this is what's going on. Like, what can I do about this? And they're like, well, that's just her. I'm like, pardon me? That's not an acceptable answer ever, especially in bullying and nursing. And so, you know, that kind of was the beginning of my bullying journey. And there is, as much as I want to say I've healed and I've moved forward and all this kind of stuff, there are moments where, man, I just want to send her a signed copy of the book and be like, you know, chapter 14's all you. Like, just, you know, I'm not naming names, but if anybody's worked with me, they know exactly what's going on and exactly who I'm referencing. And it wasn't just one bully. It was, you know, I went to the next job and there was a bully there. And the next job after that, there was a bully there. And the next job after that, there was another bully. And it's just like, you know, you get to a point of, okay, so clearly you know, it's not just me because I'm moving around and all of these departments have all the same issues, just in varying doses. And so I'm just going to do my best to like get in and get out and try not to get swapped, you know, sucked into the drama too badly. And, you know, I'm here for the patients. I'm not here to like kiss anybody's behind and make them feel like they're on top of the world when in reality, you are the bane of my existence, like kind of thing. And so it was one of those things where, you know, as awful as that experience was and all those other experiences continued to be, it allowed me to then really put my foot down to be like, okay, well, that will never happen by me. And that will absolutely never happen in front of me. So if anything ever like that, you know, anybody freaks out on somebody in front of me, that is an absolute no-go zone. I am pulling you aside. I don't care if I get pulled into HR because like, they can't fire me pretty well. Watch as I put my foot in my mouth. And so the joke is, you know, you're an experienced quadruple vaxxed critical care RN, you know, they can't get enough of us kind of thing. So the ongoing joke is, you know, what are they going to do? Fire us. But you just can't get past, you know, this is so unacceptable and just needs to stop. So I'm happy to report that through my 16 years, like it seems like it's becoming, you know, fewer and farther in between. It's not to say it's definitely not still happening because it absolutely is, but it seems to be on the slowest of, you know, snail pace kind of stops. So I'm hoping maybe by the time that I retire or die, maybe there will be 10% less nurse bullying than there was when I started.
Wow. Gee, on that note, Jen, we're going to take a quick break. Say thank you to our sponsors. Get a sip of something. Ouch. And we'll be right back here on Word of Mom Radio.
She is brave. She is bold. She is you. And we want to tell your story. Are you ready to share your journey with us on Word of Mom Radio? Go to wordofmomradio.com and register as a guest. We want to tell your story because when you win, we all win.
In 2017, Unsilenced Voices was formed to help survivors of domestic abuse and gender-based violence worldwide. The organization currently serves Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Ghana, and the USA. In 2022, Unsilenced Voices gifted over $33,000 to survivors in the USA. And in Sierra Leone, there are over 26 young girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking and domestic abuse and now going through vocational training school in order to better their lives. We need your help. Donations are critical in order for us to continue our work. We also need volunteers to help with research and development. Please visit unsilencedvoices.org for more information.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Jen Johnson about her book, nursing intuition. I can't even imagine what all of you went through during this pandemic. I have to ask you, because you have always been an emergency nurse.
Yeah.
What do you wish the public knew about the ER?
It is not first come, first serve. I'm really sorry if you get that impression, but it is absolutely not. It is the sickest get seen first. If you want to play the gratitude card of the day and you happen to need to go to the ER, if they don't immediately bring you in, be grateful that you are well enough to sit. I know it still sucks, but if we're not rushing you in, that's a good sign. It's a very good sign. Otherwise, you know, we're not superhuman. We're not immune to being yelled at or hit or harassed or grabbed or spat at. So please do not do these things. Ask yourself, you know, if I was to do this to a McDonald's employee, would I get arrested? If the answer is yes, please do not do that to your nurse or any other healthcare professional, because I promise you it is not going to work in your favor. You know, we're just people. We're just people trying to do our best in a job that sometimes forces our hands and leaves us with little to no options as to how best we can care for people. So sometimes we have to get a little creative with, you know, ways to get things started and people seen in a timely manner. But, you know, we're doing the best we can, truly. And all the gratitude during COVID was so appreciated. I don't think I've ever had so much free food and so many thank you cards and so many personal thank yous. It was wild. It was absolutely wild, because normally I'm lucky if I see a handwritten thank you maybe once every couple of months, a personal thank you maybe once a shift or a set if I'm lucky. But, you know, a thank you goes so far. And especially if one of us is struggling and is really having a hard time with, is this the way that we thought our career was going to go, you know, your thank you could be a little bit of a lifeline in really rough moments. So when somebody's new to emerge or new to nursing and they have something that comes up and they think, you know, what am I doing? I'm not good at this. I'm not learning fast enough. I'm not doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. And they're having all these moments of doubt. And one thank you could honestly be a huge turnaround for somebody who's struggling in a moment, especially somebody who's new. So kindness wins always. Thank yous are even more appreciated. And if you really want to fast track your way into a nurse's heart, caffeine and sugar or anything deep fried is always appreciated.
Well, I am going to say, on behalf of people who have forgotten to say thank you, thank you. I dealt with the nurses during my daddy dying during COVID. And just was always telling them to stay safe. You know, whatever was going to happen to him was going to happen to him, but you've had to go home to your families and figure out how now to take all of that home to them. And I think people really forgot that you put your life on the line every single day and deserve nothing but thanks. So thank you. You know, I'm teary-eyed too, Jen. I'm looking at you. The two of us are tearing up. You know what? But we, as patients, as family members of patients and things like that, you know what? Your nurses are the front line of your care. So for all of you listening, you get sick, please treat your nurses well.
Please.
Because they are the ones. You want to yell at somebody, yell at your doctor. Don't ever yell at the nurse. The nurse is the one that makes sure everything you need happens. Do not forget this, people.
Yeah.
So, Jen, what do you want new nurses to know?
I want new nurses to know that you are not alone. It is not all sunshine and rainbows. And I really wish it was, especially for your first couple of years before you kind of get hit hard with, you know, a patient loss or a med error or a complication that you didn't anticipate. Just know that sometimes all you can do is take it 1 minute at a time and just, you know, try and breathe as much as you can, because you forget and your shoulders get up by your ears and you just get stressed out and overwhelmed. And I mean, get a therapist. Oh my God, get a therapist or two. Always have a backup therapist. you know, you're not alone. And if you find somebody on your unit that you look up to and is willing to teach or is willing to just take a little bit of extra time to explain things, latch onto them like the plague and just take all the knowledge, because a lot of us are so excited to see new people get in. And, you know, there is so much magic in nursing that, you know, it takes a long time to see and to believe. And so if I can help kind of open somebody's eyes a little bit sooner so that they can see that, you know, sometimes there is so much, there is happiness in death, you know, if you can provide a sweet, comfortable, pain-free death for somebody who's dying, surrounded by family, now that we can do that again, and play music. And, you know, there's a lot of angles to nursing that is not just bedside and it's not just saving the day, because, you know, so many situations, it doesn't matter how hard you tried, how soon you got in there, you know, it's just, it's you can't save them all. And it's very hard to come to terms with that idea, because all we were taught in nursing school is you're going to save them. So to come around and to come around to palliative care and hospice and, you know, understand that there is another side to nursing that is more about comfort than curing, you know, it's okay to provide comfort to patients who are dying. It's okay to provide medications that are going to suppress respiratory effort if it means that that patient is palliative and this means that their pain is controlled. That's okay. If you're not comfortable with it, talk to a nurse who's been there a couple more years, or your charge nurse if they're approachable, and ask all the questions. If you're not asking questions, we worry that you're not learning, or you're too scared to ask, which is almost worse than not learning. So please just ask all the questions and, you know, find your work wives and your work husbands, and the dark humor is going to come, and the sooner you embrace it, probably the better, because, you know, if you're not laughing, you're crying, because there's just so much and so many emotions. Be gentle with yourself and gentle with your learning and coming out of school into practice, because the curve is straight up.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end this conversation. Jen, as we're wrapping up, what would you like to leave our audience with, and how may they reach out to you?
Trust your gut. You women, we know how to do it. It's just, you got to give it a little, that 2 seconds extra to just give it the momentum that it needs to really let you know which way you're going and which way is the best. And so you can find me at Instagram and TikTok, ernurse.jen, J-E-N-N. You can find me at Prescription for Growth, so RX for Growth, forgrowth.com. Nursing Intuition is due out October 29th. It's for pre-sale on Kindle currently. And, you know, if you need a hand and you're struggling, please, I'm here. Reach out. I'm on my phone way too much. So please reach out to somebody.
Thank you so much for being here, Jen. All of Jen's links are going to be live, including the link for the book. Get the book. Whether you're a nurse or not, get the book, because it's a good book. And it has some places in there for journaling, some really good prompt questions that will really make you think. And it's just a good story. And the last story she tells is really funny. So again,
it's a good one. It's always a good one.
So again, Jen, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dory. It's been a blast and a good cry.
It's my pleasure. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. So till next time, this is Dory DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.